For KSEO Presents with Dr. Bill Wattenberg on KOMY, it's Dead Doctors Don't Lie. This is KSEO Santa Cruz, KOMY Watsonville. It's 6 minutes past noon.
And now, KSEO Presents Dr. Bill Wattenberg. If you'd like to talk to Dr. Wattenberg today, give us a telephone call at area code 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, Dr. Bill Wattenberg.
And here we go for KSCO Presents, another full 2 hours of talk radio. Your talk radio when you use it. So come along, load up the switchboard in a hurry here. We'll have you up where you'll be suffering monologues from me. 831-479-1080. I almost start to say the 800 number for the Sunday Night National Show. Got to keep the two straight all the time. 831-479-1080 for all you hardy souls up in the South Bay, Silicon Valley, San Jose, total Monterey Bay Area, Central Coast out to the San Joaquin Valley. Here's your chance to talk to well over a million, well, it's 2 million within range of this powerhouse, AM 1080 signal. It's amazing how far it goes. The antennas of KSCO in the lagoon at Santa Cruz clearly account for what the engineers call the ground plane that gives you a big amplification of the signal from the station. Well, it's going to you. Why don't you come back the other way and tell them what's on your mind? Always lots of topics. Biggest one in the country right now, Obama's ratings are crashing. And I've predicted this for years now, several years. If he didn't stop this $4 or $5 gasoline for working people who can't afford it, he'd be 4 years and out. And I'll say again. If you don't like him and you're going to vote against him, then you're getting hurt by this. If you do like him, if you do think as I do, he's a bright guy, if he'd stop listening to the so-called advisors who are programming him, he'd do quite well. He could be a famous president with his age, his intellect, his charisma. If he'd start doing things that are good for this economy, good for these people, good for the future, instead of listening to these self-styled scientific gurus who are top-notch scientists in their own fields and know nothing about the real world of getting people to work, keeping economy alive, and making enough money to do the research to find new solutions. How they can be so incredibly suicidal and stupid, I don't know. But I've told you time and again, go to my webpage, drbill.us. All of a sudden, very popular, the letter to Obama that describes why we should be telling the world we're going to use our natural gas tomorrow morning for federal vehicles and then later for private vehicles, happening all on its own. And yet his advisors, his so-called scientific advisors, have told him to go out and make incredibly stupid statements this last week. Drill, drill, drill is a bumper sticker. Where in the hell does he think oil's coming from that we're using? And the gas. And then there is no silver bullet. There's no way we can stop it. You just have to suffer it. Oh, we have this solution coming. We'll use algae to produce oil and diesel in the future. There may be ethanol. These things aren't even possible for 8, 10, 12 years out if we had miracles tomorrow. And so they're just deliberately punishing the working public, and you, those of you of middle and lower income, know that. You know what you've lost from your families. You can't even make your mortgage payments in many cases. When is he going to wake up? Well, you can help him if you'll go to my webpage, drbill.us, drbill.us. Right at the top is the letter to Obama that 370,000 plus now have clicked on. Most of them swiped it, sent it on. Tell them to get moving before it's too late, would you? All right. Let's see. Yesterday at the end of the show, We had a couple of nasties creep in that just thought it was, well, they get their kicks off of repeating some word that's titillating to them while they're playing with it. And what's incredible is these guys think they're anonymous. They come in, oh, I'm calling from Atlanta, I'm calling from San Diego or something. And, hey, just a little effort. You can go back and find out who they are. And the feds will before long. You watch. All right, your number, 831-479-1080. You can say anything you have on your mind. You can blast me. You can call anybody anything you like. But if you just throw out nasties for the sake of being nasty and titillating, it isn't even titillating, as a matter of fact. That word titillates me. Anyway, keep it clean and let's have some fun. Hey, Barry and Aptos, you're on KSCO Santa Cruz.
Hi there. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's on your mind?
I heard your program last week, and you were talking about electric cars and your advocacy for nuclear reactors.
Yes.
I've never heard anyone tell it exactly the way it is, other than yourself. Cutting to the chase, what do you know, if anything, about thorium reactors and their viability?
Yeah, it comes up time and again. I know a fair amount about it.
It's the first time I've ever heard you. Go ahead.
All right. Well, let me just tell you. There are many different designs for nuclear reactors. Now, you're talking about fission reactors when you realize there's a whole different world called controlled thermonuclear fusion, which is the holy grail which scientific groups are dedicated and getting very close to doing, particularly Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, the amazing National Ignition Facility. In my opinion, is very close to achieving the fusion of hydrogen, which can eventually give the world unlimited energy. But back to your question, the standard fission reactors that use the high molecular weight elements, the transuranic elements, thorium, uranium, plutonium, so forth. Yes. Thorium can be used in those reactors if you can bombard it and get a cycle going where you get enough neutrons into the thorium, it transforms into uranium-233, which is like 235. And from there on, you have the same process as a normal fission reactor. The problem is you have to build and test these things for years to really know you have something. And there have been literally dozens of different designs that look gee whiz. There are three or four basic designs that have been developed to the point they're used around the world. And so, but how do you do that if you have an anti-nuke religious fanatics running your country like the Sierra Club, who shut everything down 30 years ago? We've done no basic research here in this country. Haven't built any prototypes. It's all being done elsewhere. Other countries are racing ahead of us. On the thorium part, a group supported by Bill Gates at Microsoft and a group, Nathan Myhrvold, Intellectual Ventures and others, have been working on a reactor that Gates and company call TerraPower, TerraPower. Look it up, Google it,
okay.
And read about it. That is a design that has the capability of burning thorium. It can also burn standard so-called nuclear waste, in other words, spent fuel rods out of our existing plants that are 94% pure uranium, see?
Okay.
But, again, it has to be built and tested in full scale for a number of years to ever get approval. Well, the irony is that Bill Gates and company and others are heading to China. They're way ahead of us. They're willing to try things. They know the payoff, but they won't. You won't get Bill Gates or anybody fooling around with our federal government. We have these slothful so-called regulators who take forever, and they're a bunch of numbnuts, in my opinion. Okay, look, there's some bright ones in the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, but the vast majority of these bureaucracies, and then you have the lawsuits that are immediately filed by the Sierra Club idiots just to make money for themselves, and so nothing is done. So no matter what you say about the proposed advantages of using thorium, it ain't going to happen in this country. See? Not in the next 20 years.
Well,
so thank your politicians.
No. That's the reason I keep voting for Harry Truman.
Yeah. I wish we had it. I wish we had a Harry Truman. I really do.
I voted for him the last eight elections. But cutting back to the other thing, with a fusion process, where are we going to get the hydrogen?
Where are you going to get? Look, first of all, if you can achieve controlled thermonuclear fusion, you get the hydrogen out of the ordinary water. That's not a problem. We're not talking about chemical hydrogen burning, you know, the kind you would in your car. We're talking about nuclear burning, where hydrogen nuclei are squeezed together to become helium and, and release enormous amounts of energy.
Agreed.
Okay. So you have an unlimited supply of that. Look, certain percentage of ordinary water is called heavy water, deuterium. And you can, it was the tiny little amount in water is more than sufficient to power the world to the end of the world.
So,
all right, well, there's the long and short of it, but you'll find a lot of information if you just search on the internet about various nuclear reactors. And the newer ones are vastly improved in terms of safety from the older ones, like Fukushima. Fukushima designs were some of the very oldest designs in the country, in the world.
Yep,
a new one called the AP1000 has just been approved for construction in Georgia with vastly improved safety features that would have prevented what happened in Fukushima.
So, pity.
Yeah, okay. But hey, thank you, Sierra Club, for causing the global warming. They're anti-nuke fanatics who don't even understand nuclear reactors. I try to get some of them on the air anytime. In fact, if you know of one, if you know you're a typical anti-nuke person out there who believes they use up a lot of fresh water or the nuclear waste is around for 100,000 years, get them on the air here.
I'll show you
just how incredibly ignorant and stupid they are, okay?
Last time I checked, something that fissions slowly is good.
What
now? Something that fissions quickly is bad.
No, not necessarily at all. And thorium doesn't fission slowly. It's just that you can control the rate at which you make the U-233.
Once you have
that, it fissions just as fast as U-235.
Okay? Gotcha.
Now, look, let me finish one thing.
Yes, sir.
There is nothing perfect in this world. There's no free lunch. There's no totally reliable system. Nuclear energy and power is very expensive to make it safe. It's not completely safe any more than your 747 airliners or any drug on the market or anything else we have in our society. But it's vastly cleaner and safer than filthy coal-burning plants.
I know.
And the Sierra Club has forced us and the world to build hundreds and hundreds of these filthy coal plants. Because they wouldn't even allow us to improve the nuclear plants. That's why they are the super hypocrites, as brown as your grandpa's shorts underneath when they claim to be green, you know?
I used to be an engineer.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And finally, I'll tell folks who are listening to this that think I'm just a shill for nuclear power. No, I'm for the truth. Go listen to the number one environmentalist, Patrick Moore, who founded Greenpeace. To risk his life, it was a hero of mine. He has a web page, greenspirit.com or .org, I've forgotten. He's up in Vancouver. He's come clear around to realize that nuclear is the only large source of power that we have to have that is non-polluting. And so we have to take the risks, which are small compared to coal plants. Coal plants and oil, drilling for oil, have killed hundreds of thousands of people. And you haven't had a handful die. Because of any nuclear accident outside the Soviet Union, huh?
Agreed.
Well, hey, take care and thanks for calling. Now, lines are open for the rest of you here. 479, excuse me, almost forgot to put the area code up front. 831-479-1080 into the Powerhouse AM 1080 KSCO. And you don't have to talk about what's on my mind as usual or these worldly events. If you have a puzzle, a problem, something important to you and your own community here, hey, that's always appropriate. And usually a lot more fun than these big general topics. So come along. I threw out a few puzzles, I think, the last time. Some folks had some fun with them. If you want another one, I'll give you one. But get in here. Okay, 831-479-1080. I'll be right back.
MZ back again to underscore and stress my strong endorsement of and satisfaction with Mark Concrete, the unique company that created the beautiful custom inlaid concrete table for our new state-of-the-art talk studio here at KSCO. You've probably heard my earlier ad for Mark Concrete, but I forgot to tell you that Mark's work has been featured in Sunset Magazine and on the popular TV series Dirty Jobs. I recommend you go to the website markconcrete.com to see photos and videos of some of Mark's amazing creations from concrete. You can even watch the entire Dirty Jobs feature program on markconcrete.com. Mark Lesnick is a magician when it comes to concrete. I'm talking about things like tables, bars, bathtubs, sinks, benches, countertops, just about anything you can imagine the famous Mark from Mark Concrete can create for you. Again, go to his website, markconcrete.com, and check out his work. Or call him at 236-0000. That's 236-0000. If you want something special and unusual made out of concrete, think Mark Concrete. Call 236-0000 and tell him MZ sent you.
For seniors, having close and accessible medical care is important. Here in Santa Cruz County, the majority of our local doctors and specialists are members of PMG, Physicians Medical Group, local doctors who are close to you when you need them most. With PMG, you have your own personal doctor who sees you every visit. That's something to remember when considering a Medicare Advantage plan.
I'd seen the longevity products work for many others, and so I bought a bunch of them, started using them, had a little bit of results, but I wasn't following the regimen every day. But Aaron Dykes in my office did and lost more than 60 pounds. When I saw those results, I said, I better follow my own advice. I started taking the longevity products, and it's been incredible. 37 pounds in 2 months. Our bodies are amazing, and God gave us an incredible gift. But if our body doesn't have the tools it needs, all of the vitamins, all of the minerals, and the other key essential trace elements, we're not going to be healthy. Folks, this isn't hype. I only bring to my listeners products that I've tried myself and I truly believe in. And the amazing supplements available at InfoWarsTeam.com have certainly delivered my life. I hope you'll give them a try.
Go to KSCOTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. KSCOTeam.com. That's KSCOTeam.com.
Hey, kids, what time is it? That's right, it's happy hour. Hi, I'm Charlie Friedman, inviting you to our afternoon get-togethers here on KSCO. Join me weekdays at 4 here on your favorite radio station for 3 hours of news, traffic, weather, news talk, and a few great 78s from my vast collection. So, listen to happy hour on KSCO. Learn why they call me the genial genius of Watsonville. Happy hour, 4 to 7 weekdays on KSCO.
Is that 50 years ago, he finally had a new way to make money on talk radio. Imagine using radio and all the exciting new internet technologies such as webcasting and social media to grow your own business. Whether you're interested in making a few dollars a month or building a college fund for your children,
all right, hey, we're back to you on KSCO Presents. I'm Bill Wattenberg.
Go to KSCOTeam.com to find out how MZ, Dr. Corey Gold, Ben Fields, Doc Wallach, Alex Jones are all standing by to show you how to get started.
Okay, David, in mountainpower.com. I don't know where Mountain Power is, but you're on KSCO.com.
Don't wait. The
David?
Train's leaving the station, and you don't want to be left behind.
Big intro, and
you're listening to Dead Doctors Don't Lie, the radio show.
Well, let's go.
KOMY.
What'd you do?
Okay,
I'm a huge
fan of yours, Bill.
What?
You're just a great guy. I'm a huge fan.
Well, thank you.
But two questions, right? I've got four kids. The idea of nuclear power, you know, I know it hasn't killed anybody yet, but the what-ifs are so scary. And I don't trust the government's, you know, handling of this stuff. Just reflexively, I don't trust them. And another question I have for you regarding Israel, you know, I understand these people are all surrounded by enemies, but wouldn't it make sense to think about moving somewhere else where, I mean, is there somewhere else we can find a place for Israel to be?
But David, hey, look, You're talking about ripping, I don't know how many millions, probably order of 5 to 10 million people out of their homeland that has great significance to them, as with everyone else. Try suggesting just moving everyone out of Santa Cruz, huh? You know, let me tell you, government types as no operation considers all of you a threat to the sensitive oceans and the sea mammals and the fish. They'd love to have all of you clear out of here. Then they could just set up their government offices and sit on their dumb butts with their badges and draw a paycheck. What would your reaction be if they said, hey, all you sniveling, dirty citizens who pay the taxes and our payroll, get out of here, huh?
Well, if I was surrounded by deadly enemies on every corner, you know, then I'd think about it.
Well, where can you imagine they wouldn't be if they had to go be put down in somebody else's territory? You'd have the same resentment. Only problem was, hold a second, I got a dog here in the background. I got to shut up, huh? Hey, let's take a break here just a second and hold on to David while I get rid of this animal or not put him
in. Right.
Okay, bye. I'll be right back.
Okay, Doug.
Would you hold up to be a hero of our community? Well, you can. Hello, I'm Camilla Balutian of the Santa Cruz chapter of the American Red Cross. We are accepting your nominations for the Red Cross 2012 Award, which will be awarded at our Heroes Breakfast on May 16th. Nominees for the Hero Award must have performed an act or acts of courage to save or attempt to save a life in 2010 or 2011. All nominees must work or reside in Santa Cruz County, though their heroic acts may have occurred elsewhere. We invite you to nominate a hero for one of the following categories: animal rescue, education, good Samaritan, law enforcement, lifetime achievement, medical professional, military rescue, workplace, and youth. To nominate your hero, go to thesantacruzredcross.org. That's santacruzredcross.org. For more information, call 462-2881, 462-2881.
Hi, it's your old friend MZ who's been meaning to rave to you about our fabulous new concrete parking lot here at your favorite radio station. Now, when you drive up to our building, you'll no longer have to worry about your car disappearing into a sinkhole and having to make arrangements to be winched out. We're so proud of our new one-of-a-kind designer concrete parking lot, conceived and installed by the renowned Tim Whitlow of Whitlow Concrete and his crew of genius artists. I invite you to stop by KSCO at 2300 Portola Drive and behold the absolutely beautiful customized job Whitlow Concrete did for us. I challenge you to find a better, classier parking lot anywhere in the county, or the state, or the country, or the world. Tim Whitlow of Whitlow Concrete knows what he's doing, and he has the best crew imaginable working for him. Check out Tim's masterpiece, RKSCO parking lot, and then call Whitlow Concrete to make your property more valuable. 475-4499 or WhitlowConcrete.com. Whitlow Concrete is diamond certified and a proud member of Think Local First.
Hi, folks. Warren Knox here of Knox Roofing. Are you aware of the 10 most wanted? Miss Sally Sunshine. She'll bake your underlayments to a crisp. Mr. Douglas Fir, known to crash into your roof without any consultation or hesitation. Mr. Forest Fire. If you don't have a fire-resistant roof, he'll toast you when he comes through your town. Mr. Joe Blow Roofer. Consider him armed and dangerous. He'll take your money and leave you with a disaster waiting to happen. Mr. Raging Rain will get into your nooks and crannies and soak you. Miss Windy Storm, she'll give your roof a royal lift when you least expect it. Mrs. Frida Frigid, her cold temperatures will crack your old shingles. Mr. Hal Handyman, he'll break more tiles and scuff up more shingles than cleaning your gutters are worth. Mr. Raunchy Rodent, he'll chew a hole into your home and he'll make it his own. And last is Mr. Old Man Time. This man will visit every roof sooner or later, and when he does, your time will be up. Okay, call Knox Roofing to keep the 10 most wanted out of your home. 461-0634. Thanks, folks.
Coast to Coast AM, coming to a universe near you tonight. Coast to Coast is one of those programs that deals with strange mysteries. We'll look at Bigfoot. We'll look at UFOs. We'll look at real science. And we'll also look at conspiracies and what it all means to you, the listeners of Coast to Coast AM.
Coast to Coast AM. Wait for it. After dark.
Beginning at 10 p.m. tonight on KSCO.
Okay, I'm back to you now. There's a super goof up. Pardon me, but wouldn't you know, you get your kids a German Shepherd pup, and the bugger doubles in size every 2 weeks, and twice the bark, and they're supposed to keep him out, and put him right outside my studio. All right, well, pardon me. It looks like we lost Dave, too, and I didn't answer his first question about he's worried about the nuclear power plants. Yes, Dave, nothing's perfectly safe, but if you listen to all the hype of the anti-nuclear nuts, that an accident or a meltdown on a nuclear power plant is going to irradiate 100 miles around and everyone will die of cancer instantly. It's a lot of nonsense about the maximum damage of modern Western nuclear power plants with containment domes happened in Fukushima, and it didn't have a good containment dome of the kind you have here. We spend billions of dollars putting a containment dome over them, and there's been one accident, Three Mile Island, which wasn't the plant's fault. It was the idiot operators who deliberately turned off the safety systems. The two accidents, Chernobyl and Three Mile Island, were caused by idiot operators, really idiot, stupid operators who deliberately turned the safety mechanisms off. They did the equivalent of flying a 747 airplane that you were in deliberately into a mountainside. I mean, that's all you can say. That's why, since those times, all reactors in this country and most of the Western world have had additional features put on them where operators can't disable any of the backup features. Now, Fukushima was unique in its own right. Mother Nature dealt a blow to that destroyed it. And it could happen again by some other means. But those are the risks in life. But the UN and others have issued a report here in the last month that in spite of all the hype you could think of, at the very worst, out over the next 50 years, no more than 100 people might be affected or have their lifetime shortened in any way because of the radiation from Fukushima. The plant was destroyed. The reactor cores melted down. Some radioactivity spewed out in the local areas, all of which can be picked up, by the way, eventually. But these apocalyptic scenes that you get from the Sierra Club nuts and the anti-nuclear nuts are just absurd. So that's about all I can tell you. And then you listen about the fears of nuclear waste. Well, they don't even tell you what they call nuclear waste. The spent fuel rods out of these nuclear plants are 94% pure uranium. And when they're reprocessed, they're very valuable. That's why the French are almost 90% nuclear power, cleanest industrial company in the country in the world. And many others are going there. Okay, David. Where are you, David?
Hello?
Yes, David, where are you located? Oh, you're back here again. This is the same David?
No, this is a different David.
All right. What's on your mind?
The nuclear test at Bikini Island. My understanding from my dad is he was there. And I've been going through some of his photo work, and I came across two slides, which I believe are at least one of the tests.
You remember the name, because I know that, look, I was a member of the nuclear weapon design team at Livermore. Came after those tests, though, but I remember the names and the designs and the details. Do you remember which ones you're talking about?
I have no idea.
All right. Well, tell me what you know about it. I may recognize it.
Actually, I don't know anything, but one of the pictures I'm looking at looks an awful lot like one of the pictures I've seen of when they sent off the oh, the first H-bomb, the first hydrogen bomb, the pattern looks the same.
Well, the first ones were detonated in the South, in the Pacific, the Bikini Atoll area, yes. But they are, you know, they're very all are very awesome spectacles when they're detonated. You essentially have, you know, you light up the sky and the world for hundreds of miles around them because of the intense energy released. But
yeah, everything's dark around the explosion.
Well, it is dark except where the light hits something. Such as particles in the air that will reflect some light. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm trying to find more information because they may have been taken from the air because he was in a squadron that flew out of Hickam Air Force Base.
Look, you'll find gobs of information on these shots. Just go to the search engines, Google, Yahoo, Bing, and put in nuclear atmospheric nuclear tests, and it'll take you clear back to the beginning of the fission bomb tests. There were many of those before the first hydrogen bomb was attempted. And then there were several series in that. In fact, okay. I worked with the former director of the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, John Knuckles, just looking at a recent history. He designed and conducted, I believe, the very last two thermonuclear devices that were tested, and so anyway, there's a whole series of them, but that's the best information I can give you, David. Okay.
What I'm trying to accomplish is, I understand if you're a veteran and you were there, it opens doors in the VA for your health.
I don't know whether that does for sure, because I can tell you this: the observers typically were exposed to very little of anything in terms of radiation. On the other hand, there were some who were closer, have some claims. I don't know what's active now in that process, but that's all I can tell you. Hey, thanks for calling. Bye-bye. Now, let's see. Have to get next in line. John Watsonville, you've been waiting a while. You're on KSCO Santa Cruz.
Hi, Dr. Bill. I've been a long-time listener. I see you on the other station. I'm glad you're here locally now.
Hey, this is a delight. This is a delightful audience here, I'll tell you. Yeah.
Before I get into the subject, I wanted to ask you real quick, whatever happened to Jim Eason? I know he moved back to North Carolina. Is he still around?
Jim Eason, yeah, he's still around, and this is vibrant as ever. He retired from radio, you know, a good many years ago, 10, 15 years ago. But we used to call him Sonny Jim. I've talked to him I talked to him occasionally, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was great. So anyway, I'm glad to hear he's still doing good. I was going to, on the same subject, on the other side of the coin of nuclear, I think there's a lot of us out here, I mean, most people don't, I don't get what's going on over there with Iran, and as it relates to China and Russia. What is the end game for China and Russia if they, if this sets off some kind of nuclear exchange, if Iran gets the bomb, and it blows up the whole area, why is
okay, let me give you a quick synopsis there of what I think most so-called experts feel. China and Russia are kind of like the spectators off to the side of the other end of the football field as a riot goes down at the other end. You know what I mean? They don't really feel any great concern over proximity to the problem, and yet they have a big vested interest. China has a big vested interest in the oil from Iran, buying and trading a lot of it. And Russia has a big vested interest in terms of selling stuff to Iran. They're selling reactors. They're selling military equipment. So they're both protective in a way, and they're not supportive of our sanctions against Iran or attempt to stop it from developing nuclear weapons. Frankly, they're a lot less sensitive to whether Iran has a nuclear weapon or not, because they're already facing adversaries of their own. And for the most part, they believe if Iran ever had nuclear weapons and gave them to terrorists, the attacks would be directed against us and the Israelis, not them. See?
Yeah.
So I think that's it in a nutshell. It's the same old game, you know. Follow the money, follow the interests. If there's nothing to be gained, they're not going to be involved.
Well, that probably you're right. But it doesn't make sense, because if that does happen, we're the center of the economy in this whole world. I mean, if they somehow bring us down economically with that kind of stuff going on, I don't see how it's not going to.
No, you know, you're very astute to, because I pointed this out. In fact, I did a little experiment to prove something's right. And that is, all we have to do is slow down the buying of Chinese goods, and they are in a depression. They have made millions of millionaires over there simply by primarily selling goods to the United States and secondarily to Europe. If they hurt us, if they shut our economy down, look, a single nuclear attack, crude nuclear attack in one of our harbors will shut down all commerce, all shipping, all financial system of the world. Top Democrats have predicted this. William Perry, not long ago, I had some meetings with him and others and discussions, big public meetings. So I think you're right. They would be committing suicide, at least in the case of China. Now, Russia has much less trade dependence on us, and in fact is primarily supplying Europe with natural gas and resources. But China would be cutting its own nose off. And in fact, if you want to change China's attitude, I keep telling the people, all they have to do is stop buying Chinese goods. Let me give you an example of the experiment. Remember about 10 years ago, they captured some of our airmen who had an accident close to the border of China?
Yes.
And they had held them hostages? I started a campaign on the West Coast telling people, and we printed up a little poster you could print right off the computer. And it said for people, they print this up, they go into a store, Walmart somewhere, get some goods made in China, go up to the checkout counter, set them there, and put this little note there. China, I will not buy your goods until you release our hostages. Hey?
Uh-huh.
Hell of a furor. You couldn't believe the furor that caused. Man, their attachés, a Chinese consulate was all over us at the other big radio station complaining to ABC about me. But tens of thousands of people did it. And that just terrified those buggers because, hey, you shut off, they're selling their billions, hundreds of billions to us, and all their millionaires evaporate, see? Yeah. Well, guess what? After about 10 days, guess what they did, huh?
They let them go.
You're damn right. They let our guys go. They didn't like that action happening in this country of people taking their goods up to the checkout counter and leaving them there, see? Now, if we do more, if we do more of that in this country, and buy more goods made in America, it might cost a little more, but they'd restart creating the jobs again that your job depends on. By the way, we could also change their attitude. Real quick attitude adjustment would come about when China, in terms of supporting us in Iran, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's the overview I can give you. That's all.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. It makes sense what you're saying. I just it doesn't make sense though in a way that they're willing to play this kind of game that could just blow up.
They play this kind of game because we have no guts. Okay, our leaders have no guts to confront them. I'm sorry, but the White House will not confront them. They will not say, China, stop it, or we stop you. See. There's an easy way to balance up this trade business. All they have to do is start talking about something. You don't have to do it. Just talk about a following rule I've suggested for years. We make a rule. If you want to sell goods in this country, you will make half of them in this country. See what I mean? Doesn't violate any of the free trade rules. Japan's already doing that, isn't it? They have all their car factories here. The Germans are doing it. Go tell China, you want to sell your goods here? You start putting your factories here, you make half your goods here, you hire American workers, you get American workers trained, you can sell them here. Boy, you don't think that wouldn't be an attitude change for them in a hurry? But you can't even get this White House or your Congress to talk about it. It's screw you, American workers, is what it is, you know?
Yeah. And,
you know why? Because the Chinese and the others pay these so-called U.S. trade negotiators and our politicians $500,000 as consultants when they get out of office. They buy them.
Yeah.
They're bought, lock, stock, and barrel. Okay?
Absolutely.
All right.
And I think they sense a tremendous weakness from our country now, too. I mean,
they do.
Leader is so weak and so afraid of his own shadow that cutting the military, and it's just sad, you know? And
they laugh at us. The truth is, we have no balls in Washington. It's just that simple, all right?
Yeah. I agree.
As a matter of fact, we'd have a lot more balls in Washington. We had a lot more women there who are stand up and, you know,
yep.
Thatcher style and say, the hell with you, you know? All right.
Amen. All right. Well,
amen.
Thank
Take
you
care. For- Bye-bye. All right, let's see who's next up here. You've been waiting the longest here. Steven Soquel, you're on KSCO 1080.
Hey, Bill, love your show.
Thank you.
One problem I have when I'm discussing the nuclear topic with my more liberal friend, the anti-nuclear Greenpeace types never seem to be willing to acknowledge the fact that the amount of radioactive fly ash that's emitted from coal-burning plants.
Yes.
In 1 year, vastly exceeds the amount of radiation that's been emitted by all the nuclear power plants in the entire world, and that includes the accident in Chernobyl.
Yeah, well, it includes the leftovers from Chernobyl. No, they won't admit it, but the numbers are right in their face. And I'll tell you, there's an Oak Ridge National Laboratory report that the EPA and the Greenies tried to suppress for years, and I forced it out 20 years ago. It's been confirmed time and time again. It tells you the numbers, the amount of filth from coal-burning plants that are coming out from around the world because the Greenies, your friends you talk about, forced us to use the coal. Now,
right.
that includes 20,000 tons of uranium and thorium in the atmosphere every year now that your Greenie friends are breathing. They're going to have little cancers pop up on their noses pretty soon, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was actually at Oak Ridge. They toured the facility in September. It was a wonderful experience, and there was a ton of information. There's a ton of information that's available from independent studies. The radioactive fly ash is a huge, huge concern, and nobody's
sure
really willing to acknowledge the hard numbers.
Yep.
900,000 deaths annually as a result of inhalation of fine particle matter is a result.
Yeah, now that, by the way, let me tell you, that number comes from our own EPA. In the health organizations around the world, including the United Nations, 500,000 minimum up to 1 million. Premature
right.
deaths from the pollution from coal-burning power plants. Thank you, Sierra Club, Greenies, you name them, huh?
Right. So, yeah, you know, it's horrible because they're willing to acknowledge certain things as long as it supports their agenda. But if they look at the hard science, the hard facts, the actual numbers, they'll sit there and, you know, snub their nose and refute
yep.
the claim that that nuclear power is that's clean, cleanest thing there is.
You know what I'm going to do for you? There is the full Oak Ridge National Laboratory on the filth from coal-burning power plants, beautifully laid out, graphs that show you how much total in each year out to where we are now and beyond, how much radioactivity. I'm going to ask Michael Zwirling to post that on the KSCO website, all right? I have the report. I'll put it there. It was always one of the most popular on my West Coast shows for years. People and students couldn't believe it. But it's easy to verify. The arithmetic is there. And people don't realize why, the basic reason why. Coal is mined out of the ground by the tens of billions of tons a year now. Coal is one of the dirtiest minerals around. It has a little bit of everything you think you don't like in it. Arsenic, lead, mercury, uranium, thorium. Coal is 1 part per million uranium, 4 parts per million thorium. And so when you burn it, this stuff goes up the stack or sits in the slag heap. And that's where the 20,000 tons come. You burn 1 million tons of coal. Average coal plant burns about 3 million a year. You get 3 tons of uranium. You get 12 tons of thorium put right up the stack. And the folks, your Greenies and the Sierra Club cats, giving the finger to a clean nuclear power plant are sitting there breathing 10,000 times the radiation they would ever have gotten from that nuclear plant, you know.
Yeah, aside from those hard numbers, the other thing that I'm challenged with when I'm having discussions with these folks is their primary fears are not only radioactive emissions, but also the meltdown. And the one that cracks me up the most, and I'm sure you can relate to this pretty well, is their fear of an explosion, which is almost zero likelihood,
yep.
'cause I'm sure you know.
Well, yeah, let's go back with that. It's indeed zero likelihood. The poor, ignorant fools don't understand the extreme requirements you have to get an explosive nuclear reaction. You don't have that in a nuclear power plant. The nuclear material, you bring it together, will just get hot and melt itself. It won't explode. And that's called a meltdown. It's a fizzle. The worst thing you could imagine is happened in Fukushima. Fukushima didn't even have big concrete containment domes around it like our plants here in Three Mile Island. And yet the worst that's happened is they lost the plant. That's what happened in Three Mile Island. You lost the plant. You didn't. The people around it never got as much radiation from that so-called accident, or it was an accident internally, they never got as much radiation as the people who live in Denver, Colorado, get every year. That's
from eating bananas or flying in jets.
Yeah, or if you take an airplane flight across the country, you've gotten 10 times the amount that any people got around Three Mile Island. I will post this, and let me leave you with one last absurdity you can shove right up their butts like a hot poker, all right?
I need it.
The slag, you know how they have this fear of nuclear material seeping through the ground from nuclear waste rods out of our fuel plants? Okay. And there might be a nuclear material, there might be more proliferation from people getting nuclear plutonium out of our power plants. The slag heaps outside of every big coal plant, hundreds of thousands of tons stacked up, all over the world, hundreds of millions of tons stacked up. Those slag heaps contain more uranium and U-235 than you can find any place else, sitting on the ground, blowing in the wind, leaching into the rivers, and the people who caused it, your Sierra Clubs and your greenies, don't even think about it. But one little fleck, you can't even see, that drifts over from Fukushima and lands in Berkeley, and you can find with a detector, that's front page news.
Right.
And 100 billion times as much as sitting in the slag heaps open on the ground outside the coal burning plants that the Sierra Club, Natural Resources Defense Council, the Greenies forced us to build when they shut down the nuclear power plants. So, hey, that goes on and on. Thanks for calling, Steve. Keep looking for the numbers. I will ask for everyone else to get the very readable Oak Ridge National Laboratory report on the pollution from coal-burning plants. I'll ask Michael Zwirling to post that up there as a beautiful example of the incredible stupidity of your anti-nuclear so-called greenies. Huh? Take care. Bye-bye. Okay, who do we have here? Mark. Gee, where are you, Mark? I don't know where you're located. I can't read the fine print. But you're on KSCO, Mark.
Hey, Dr. Wattenberg. Yeah. I want to know if you could tell us the difference between a neutron bomb and a hydrogen bomb, and what's currently being deployed in our arsenal, or is it sort of interchangeable? Is it a weapon that can be placed on a cruise missile or a free fall bomb?
Well, let me give you a little description. First, standard nuclear weapons, thermonuclear weapons is known. There's what's called a PIT, which is a plutonium fission weapon like the original atomic bomb dropped on Nagasaki. But that is then used to light up hydrogen that is squeezed to make a thermonuclear reaction thousands of times more energetic. So that gives you the thermonuclear bomb, megatons, all right? Now, in both of these cases, when the plutonium is imploded to explode or to react in nuclear, you get enormous amount of neutrons released, okay? That's what causes the chain reaction. The same thing happens when the thermonuclear part is detonated. There's uranium involved there in a way I can't describe to you, but that can produce neutrons. One interesting way that a lot of us who were designers at the time looked at the neutron bomb, it was just a sloppy regular bomb. They did a poor job, okay? Because look, you'd like to contain the neutrons in the device to enhance the chain reaction and the energy release. If you let the neutrons go, you lose some of that. But then it was realized at one time that if we were faced with these massive armies of tanks and soldiers overrunning Europe from Russia, you could wipe them out without destroying all the buildings if you showered them with massive amounts of neutrons rather than so much blast. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So the trade-off is this. Make the nuclear device, the nuclear bomb, more efficient to produce, release more energy and make a bigger blast, which destroys buildings and everything, or make it less efficient and let the neutrons escape or create more neutrons and use that to shower the ground to eliminate personnel and tanks, you see?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can tell you there are no neutron bombs around on our side, okay? Look, okay. That isn't the way to do it, and the threat of being overrun from tanks by the Soviet Union is gone. So.
Okay, well, thanks for the lesson, Dr. Bill.
But that's the example. Now, let's see, what kind of analogy could I give you? You know a fireplace, all right? You can have a fireplace that's nice and warm and cozy to sit in front of it, but you're losing most of the heat. Is going right up the chimney, isn't it?
Correct.
Just so you can look at these nice, high, sparkling flames. Well, that's inefficient burning of the wood as far as getting the energy in your home. If you close it up tightly in a, what do you call it, closed fireplace insert or a really well-designed wood stove and get that wood to smolder in there almost and burn more slowly, you capture much more heat in the stove metal to come out to your home and less of it going up the stack, right?
Great analogy.
Well, that's sort of an analogy of what you can do with a thermonuclear weapon. You can make it more spectacular in a different direction, namely releasing a lot of neutrons and get less energy out of it. Or you can turn it around the other way and optimize it for energy concentration and blast. Create blast, and of course there's gamma radiation, but you decrease the amount of neutrons you allow to escape.
Fantastic. Thanks,
so there's the difference, but frankly it's a dead issue. I mean, I knew the guy personally who conceived that very, very brilliant designer. It was of interest at one time when we were faced with an insidious kind of threat, namely the total overrun of Western Europe by massive numbers of tanks and personnel pouring out of the Soviet Union in open areas. Well, there's where you'd use a neutron bomb. Eh?
Yeah, it makes sense.
So, and we're not worrying about that now. Okay.
Okay.
Hey, good question. Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Cheers, Dr. Bill.
All righty, let's see if we can get Charles in Santa Cruz in here quickly. What's on your mind, Charles?
Oh, thank you.
Oh, boy, what are you squeaking there?
I don't know.
You're talking into something with some feedback. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Thank you for letting me talk to you. I'm interested in your Sunday evening program. Is that going to be heard nationwide?
Well, it has been heard for some time. It goes nationwide, the open line to America. And KSCO here is one of the affiliates, so they broadcast it 8 to 11 Sunday nights and many, many others.
Would you let my voice come on there, too?
Well, you can call there just as easy as here. Why not?
Well, it's not a rebroadcast or something.
No. That's a live show. I don't do rebroadcast shows.
Okay. All right.
Hey, it's live, and when I goof up, you hear it. Okay?
Okay. You know, my ears perked up when you mentioned yesterday the Department of
Water Resources?
No, the Department of Security brought on two devout Muslims. What was that department?
That was Department of Homeland Security bragged about hiring devout Muslims. And I just said, well, why do they brag about hiring devout Catholics, Protestants, Jews, and so forth? They don't do it, do they?
Yeah.
Hey, I've got to run here now. We're hitting the end of the hour, but call me anytime.
Okay, all right.
Charles, you're going to have a lot of
time. I want to talk about that later.
That'd be fine. You do that then, okay?
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, I'll be back for another full hour here. Your number 831-479-1080 into the switchboard. Loaded up for this coming hour. I need you. This is KSCO Santa Cruz at 1080.
You're listening to AM 1080, KSCO Santa Cruz.
CNN Radio, I'm Michelle Wright.
Our top story, the deadly shooting rampage by a U.S. soldier on civilians in Afghanistan is increasing tensions in the United States and in Afghanistan as well. Former Assistant Secretary of State James Rubin says recent incidents aren't helping the U.S. mission there.
Unfortunately, the burning of the Quran, this act of mass murder by a rogue soldier, have created a situation in which the public has lost support here at home, and the Afghans themselves are losing confidence in the United States.
The soldier allegedly responsible could face the death penalty. It's primary day in Alabama and Mississippi in the race for the Republican presidential nomination. Ocean Springs, Mississippi resident Martin Reeves tells CNN he voted for Mitt Romney.
I just feel that he's one that totally has a chance to beat the current president, and also I think that he's very well rounded.
Hawaii and American Samoa are holding caucuses today. The U.S., EU, and Japan have filed a challenge to China's export restrictions on some minerals used in the production of high-tech devices. President Obama says the complaints are simply demanding a level playing field.
We want our companies building those products right here in America. But to do that, American manufacturers need to have access to rare earth materials, which China supplies. Now, if China would simply let the market work on its own, we'd have no objections. But their policies currently are preventing that from happening.
And as expected, the Federal Reserve has decided to keep the federal funds rate unchanged. CNN's Allison Kosick reports the Fed's statement did show some signs of optimism.
The Fed said that the labor market conditions have actually improved further and that the unemployment rate has declined notably in recent months. But the Fed does point out that the unemployment rate still remains elevated. Also, the Fed notes that household spending and business fixed investment have continued to advance.
I'm Michelle Wright. This is CNN Radio.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? A Regions Cash Core Analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the Better Business Banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here with breaking news. Let's go to Jim in the chopper.
Hey, Flo, looks like Progressive is offering the Snapshot discount. It's their biggest discount ever. Should be huge.
That's big, Jim. But what's with the chopper?
What do you mean? It's a chopper. Choppers are sweet.
They kind of are.
The Snapshot discount. It's new, it's a big deal, and it's finally here. Learn more at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Snapshot is not available in all states.
This is the Market Watch Closing Bell Report. A change in plan from the Fed helped power a record day on Wall Street. Until today, the Dow has never closed above 13,000, while the NASDAQ finished over the 3,000 level. Even the S&P 500 finished within tickling distance of the 1,400 mark. Right now, the Dow up 218 points at 13,177. NASDAQ finished the day at up 56 at 3,039, and the S&P was up 25 at 1,395. The gain started after the February retail sales figures showed their fastest growth in 5 months, in spite of rising gas prices. Then the Fed offered some comforting words, saying after the March meeting, gas prices will only provide a temporary boost to inflation. Interest rates stay the same. In addition, the Fed decided to release results of bank stress tests this afternoon, where the J.P. Morgan Chase results turned out healthy. I'm Joan Doniger at MarketWatch.com.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? A Regions Cash Core Analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the Better Business Banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
Welcome to the Lincoln Financial Chief Life Officer Business Update. Mr. Barkles is appointed Chief Tailwagging and Slobbering Officer.
The arrival of Mr. Barkles is seen as a positive by shareholders Molly and Sam. Duties will involve cuddling and gnawing on table legs.
This Chief Life Officer Business Update is brought to you by Lincoln Financial. We protect your family and help secure your future. Take charge at LincolnFinancial.com/CLO. Products and financial services provided by the Lincoln National Life Insurance Company, Fort Wayne, Indiana, and a New York Lincoln Life and Annuity Company of New York, Syracuse, New York.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay Zwirling.
Dear KSCO listeners, because of the KGO disruptive episode a while ago, our listenership has grown enormously, for which we are delighted and grateful. Most of the new listeners do so via the internet, so MZ has happily obtained a very substantial amount of bandwidth to accommodate them. And because of the newcomers, I shall now occasionally broadcast more of the commentaries from my book, like now. This was broadcast in September 2008 with additions now, and it's just as relevant today. The sad current fact is that there no longer is a true media in our country. The news that we the people are getting is no longer